This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan as we go around the NBA. These Luka stats from a historic night are just incredible. We're still reacting to it as more history was made. Fewest minutes ever to get a triple-double, 25 minutes. I'll go ahead and take that, just about 1.4 points a minute. I remember they used to make a big deal about Cedric Ceballos getting a point a minute, and it was cool. You know, he'd come off the bench and get you 20 in 20 minutes. Pretty badass.
Blindfolded, too, if you weren't around for it.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd just come in and start putting up points before he even got his warm-ups off. But, you know, Luka doing it at a rate now, the only player to have a triple-double in back-to-back games at age 20. The next youngest guy is Oscar Robertson, who did it at 22 years old. Oscar wasn't in the league at 20, so I don't know. Maybe he would have if he'd been drafted at that point. But Doncic is now averaging 29.9 points, 10.6 rebounds, 9.4 assists per game. He is the only player in the league to rank in the top five in scoring and assists, the lone player to rank in the top 15 in all three of those major statistical basketball categories.
He dropped then.
Why is that?
He was top 10 in all three.
Oh, really?
Sounds like Luka's falling off.
Get back in the glass, bro.
Luka?
According to Elias, though, Doncic became the first player to register more points, rebounds, and assists than an opposing team in a quarter since Allen Iverson did that in 2003 against the Chicago Bulls.
Damn, we need to talk about rebounding with that 03 Bulls team. Allen Iverson out-rebounded your team?
They were in some bad shape, weren't they? There were some really dark years for the Chicago Bulls.
Did he have anybody 6'6"?
Luka's 11th right now in rebounds.
Oh.
He's at 10.6. And really, he would have to do a lot. Joel Embiid is at 11.5. So he's almost a full rebound behind. But when you look at all the guys ahead of him, they're all centers or power forwards.
Do you think it's registering right now with DFW North Texas sports fans?
No, not at all.
A Magic Johnson or Larry Bird type of figure has seriously dropped in on us?
I think for most just kind of your general sports fan, which is a huge Cowboy fan here and a casual Rangers, Maverick, Stars fan, no, it's not registering what he's doing because they're locked in on the Dallas Cowboys, locked in on maybe some of their college football that they follow. And they're kind of like, and I'm like, to me, I'm like, dude, he is, like, we're watching, you understand, there's a chance we might be watching one of, like, the 20 greatest players in NBA history. We're watching him at 20, and there's a long way to go, and he can get hurt, and he can change teams, and a lot of things can happen in a negative way that don't make him that. But right now, I have to watch every game because I feel like I'm watching Larry Bird or Magic Johnson or Michael Jordan or LeBron James. I'm watching one of the greatest to ever take the court at a very young age, and I can't look away at this point.
No, I think you make some great points there. And another thing is there just wasn't much buildup before he hit the NBA about the hype, right? Because Zion got hype and LeBron got hype and several other players have. Greg Oden and, you know, Kevin Durant paid off. Michael Beasley didn't pay off in the hype, but, you know, Adam Morrison didn't. Usually there's a buildup to the point and then it's like, boom, they launch. So when they start playing well or they dominate, it's like, oh yeah, just as expected. But with Luka maybe flying under the radar a little bit as a rookie because it was a good year. It was rookie of the year worthy, but it wasn't like for sure he's going to become a GOAT candidate. Because right now, short of Jordan and LeBron, who had these otherworldly skills plus an ability to jump 45 inches into the air.
That helps.
You know, they're on a different level, I think, for the GOAT stuff. Now, for Luka, if you're going to catch them in a legit GOAT conversation, you got to hand out like 12, 13 assists per game for over an 8 or 9 year period. And maybe you could. Yeah. But that's the only thing. That would be the only difference from the true greatest of all time candidates in the game compared to Luka, at least the way I see this.
Yeah, and
thing.
Obviously you lead your team to three championships in your career and you're right there with those guys. So.
But knock on wood a little bit. I so far we're coming up on a season and a quarter in, and he hasn't been plagued by injuries. There's no nagging stuff. Like Zion comes in and he's like, oh, you're hurt already, huh? And it's like, wow. To me, that's a significant red flag. And if a guy just goes a season and a quarter, again, knock on wood, without being hampered by much, I'm like, wow, this guy's a candidate to be durable.
So I want to ask you this because I heard this. I don't think this is true, but maybe some people are thinking this. somewhat Russell Westbrook's triple doubles to people were irrelevant because it never led to anything special for his teams. Once Kevin Durant left, he then averaged a triple double for two straight seasons, if I have his career right. And do you think that Luka is getting a triple double but not truly helping the team is some criticism I see from people?
Okay, so usage rates are way up for the biggest player. So the triple-double has been diminished, right?
Yes.
But no, Luka's team leads the league in offense. Russell Westbrook, one of the years he averaged a triple-double, his team was 17th in the NBA. The other, he was third. So one out of the two Russell Westbrook years, I think you could say, wow, he really drove this team to offensive greatness. But the other one, he was getting the triple-double like sort of, you know, in with it being maybe in the best interest of the basketball club. But they were an average offense.
Yeah.
So at that point, you could argue if you're getting a triple-double and your team is an average offense, is that the best thing in mind for your team? But with Luka right now, you can't argue it. And he's doing it with below starting caliber teammates for the most part. Imagine what happens when he could actually get the floor spaced and throw it to guys who are more consistent shooters.
We have a guy who's trolling. I'll let you troll
here.
214.
Don't answer that guy.
Luka boring as hell.
Oh.
What do you want? Well, he also
Holy
said
crap.
The thing. He also said y'all's tripping. Maybe he's Bird, not Magic. Yeah, you know what? I'll take a dude who's one of the 10 best players in the NBA in the history of the game that won three MVPs in a row and won multiple championships. Yeah, I'll take.
He's Magic with a jump shot. He's better than Magic.
Yeah. But, you know, like,
I
don't know
Magic
what.
Was at 20,
I get it.
Sure.
Luka does not do 360s. He doesn't have Jordan or LeBron or Kobe's hops, I guess, or Dr. J. I'm trying to go way back. I guess if it's boring basketball to you, if you don't just sky and dunk over people, then I guess it's boring to you and there's nothing you can do.
I think if you can't appreciate skill, that's a weird thing as a basketball
You're
fan.
Doing a bit. You're doing a bit.
Yeah, because watching him and the way he can manipulate and get around people and then either stop and cross over or go to the rim or do something creative around the rim, like the amount of ways in which he can score is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
It's like some Hakeem Olajuwon stuff once he gets down towards the basket. It's like if I've got enough leverage, it's a layup. If I don't quite, it's a stop and a hook, or maybe it's a floater. And it's like he finishes in all these different ways. And if that's not entertaining to you, you got problems.
I mean, he's probably not going to make too many top tens with his finishing moves, but some of his passes, some of his other stuff is really entertaining. I'll take the point, though, that if you want to grade how SportsCenter friendly all of the superstars are, maybe Luka's down at the towards the bottom end. But I think when it's happening on your team, you don't mind it.
Yeah.
Like if I'm shopping for a basketball game to watch and here's Luka and I have no vested interest, maybe I want to go to more of a high flyer, depending on what your perspective on what entertaining basketball is.
Well, I tell you what,
if
he
Luka's
is
ever
the hype
with these triple doubles, like with the insane stat line, if he were shooting, if you looked up his field goal percentage and it was like 42%, then I think there's something there. But right now, he's right below 50%. It's like, he's not even inefficient. He's an efficient scorer on top of everything else.
Well, you know, and James Harden is too. And James Harden's scoring 39. And, you know, but that's the category I put both those guys in right now. You know, Harden won an MVP. I think Luka's going to win an MVP. But what do you do in the postseason? What do you do over the long haul to prove that you can hang with the guys who are truly commanding all of the, you know, finals attention right now?
The other thing, too, it's early in the year and he worked his butt off, you know, to get his body in a lot better shape. You know, they, in the article, Tim McMahon, you know, he's a doughy 247 when he showed up to Dallas and he's worked hard to lose weight and tone up. And he's still only just 20 years old. Can he do this for 82 games? And I know he'll sit out a few, you know, to rest and load management. But can he do it for a whole season? Can he be, which is crazy to say at 20 years old, can he be 30, 10, and 10 for the most part for the whole season and keep this? Because, look, for the people that – and I'm going to – there's people that don't like Luka, at least on the fan text here. It's a minority, but there's not just one person who says Luka's boring or Luka's overrated or he's not Russell Westbrook or whatever is. He's all over SportsCenter. LeBron James, if you're a fan of LeBron James, he said he's a bad MF-er.
Yeah.
You know,
there were haters for LeBron for a long time, too, for years.
Yeah.
He'll never win a championship. He doesn't have heart. You know, he doesn't want to take the big shot. You know, you guys are overblowing it. There's always going to be a contrarian out there that.
In fact, I think we're covering him less here right now.
Who might be true.
Because of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
than nationally. Nationally, Luka is a bigger story than the Dallas Cowboys.
That might be true, man. It's quite a story, quite a sensation here. Mark Cuban was asked about the topic of there being problems with coach and players. He said, when we had people here who didn't think they needed to learn anything, that's when we'd run into conflicts. Luka's a sponge on the court and off. The story was a little bit about Rajon Rondo and Dennis Smith Jr. in there, but there have been a lot of players. Cuban also said here in the story with Tim McMahon that Rick trusts Luka to call the plays, as Luka demonstrates not that he makes things happen, but he can make everyone else better. Why would Rick jump in? Mark Cuban added. So that's my way of answering your question. Luka is going to continue at 30-10-10. There's not a secondary playmaker on the team that's starting caliber.
Yeah.
And he has the complete trust of the coach. They need him to play minutes in order to make the playoffs. So there's no reason that he'll stop doing what he's doing. Maybe he won't shoot it as well. You know, maybe the points come down a few as the field goal percentage maybe smooths out. Or maybe he's going to be around a 50% shooter. You know, he stopped taking all those long twos and is getting to the rim a lot more often this year.
You know, every time he catches and shoots, which is really rare, I feel like he makes 90% of those three-pointers. And he doesn't get one of those a game. I mean, it's kind of more like one every three games that somebody else does something where somebody forgets to cover Luka and he just catches and shoots, and that is super automatic. Can you imagine if the Mavericks ever do get another guy? The other night, DeMar DeRozan. If the Mavericks did get DeMar DeRozan and then you gave him the ball at the top of the key and you know he's not shooting, so he's going to drive. If a team ever sagged off of Luka and Luka caught the ball every once in a while, got to shoot one or two three-pointers just off a catch and shoot somewhat open.
Yeah.
How, like, that could even get him to more points. Even though he wouldn't be having the ball as much,
yeah,
he could even maybe score more points if there became another person who could create for Luka, where Luka gets to just work off of that creator.
Well, you know, Kobe said it last year about James Harden. It's not going to work if you got to be that much in command. And, you know, they have Westbrook now, but we'll see how that whole thing plays out. But, yeah, you're going to need a secondary really, really good player to create opportunities for Luka and to let him rest. You know, imagine trying to do this for 80-game-plus playoffs for 2 or 3 years. Yeah. He would be exhausted. Speaking of Kobe here, as we go around the NBA, Lou Williams, now with the Clippers, tells a Kobe story. He went on the Matt Barnes, Steven Jackson podcast, All the Smoke. It's a short story. He said, Kobe's going to be mad at me for this, but we got blown out in Portland. And he came back in the locker room and he said, from now on, every time the court, I touch the ball. Y'all are going to learn what it's like to play with Kobe, Bean, effing Bryant, said Williams. He had just gotten the bleep kicked out of us and Kobe wasn't going for it. But apparently they were making fun of Kobe for a while on that. Happened back in 2016 there towards the end. Elsewhere around the NBA, Kawhi and Paul George made their debut together last night for the Clippers. Wasn't smooth, but they did combine for 40 points. The Clippers did have 23 turnovers, but they did beat the Celtics 107-104. Big win for them, and they are sitting at 10-5. But that's the veterans. You know, you look at Lou Williams and Pat Beverly and Mo Harkless and Montrezl Harrell. You know, when the Mavs have those kinds of players around Luka and Porzingis, that's when you'll know they could really, you know, go and do some damage. But this is pretty much around them, the cream that elevated to the top while you were tanking. And then, you know, a fan favorite in J.J. Barea. Okay, Boston hosting Brooklyn this weekend.
Did you see what J.J. did last night?
Uh-uh.
Well, there's 3 minutes to go, and the crowd wants J.J. to go in, the ones that stayed for the 50-point victory. And so J.J. got up and, like, ran past, like, kind of Rick Carlisle to pretend like he was going in. And then went and sat back down, and that was like the crowd was like, the crowd like stood up like, yeah, JJ's going in. And then he went back to the bench like, yeah, I'm not going in.
Something weird's going on there. He played that one game and was good.
I know. I don't know. And he played a preseason game against the Clippers and was really good in those minutes there. But I don't know if they're saving him for the second half. Maybe they know at his age and the injury that he had that he has 40 games in him in the regular season and then playoffs. And they're going to
get your credential pulled if you ask about it.
Like, I don't know.
It's such a weird thing that your probably third or fourth best player is just watching you play every night, even though he's healthy.
Yeah, you know, I think maybe the organization went to him and said, hey, let's get other guys some playing time and try to figure out rotations, and then maybe we'll plug you in. You know, Deshaun Stevens.
But how are you going to figure out the rotations when ultimately I'm going to be part of it, but you're figuring them out without me?
I don't know. Maybe Rick knows him so well that he'll just have a feel for where he would fit perfectly there towards the – I don't know. It's weird. Cowboys Twitter, Dak haters, This is some really good stuff for you. You're going to love this, Dak haters. It's next in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Yep, that's right. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a fantastic day. We are rocking and rolling here. Time for some Cowboys Twitter. And we go to the account of RJ Choppy to learn about Dak Prescott. And congrats, Dak haters. You got what you've needed right here. Segments brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing and by Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do it more. Fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He will stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Mark Rubin, 800-LAWYERS. Official lawyers of the Tolo, Rubin and Associates. Yeah, if you still doubt Dak, this will probably be the best segment that it changes your mind or at least makes you focus on other things until maybe Dak has a down year, which you might be waiting for a while. But I think my number one message to the Dak doubters going forward and right now is to just be quiet because there might be better opportunities to hate Dak in the future, but this year ain't it.
Yeah, you're in a bad spot right now. You're in a tough spot.
So RJ Choppy tweets, he was tweeting about this article on 538.com. Tremendous job here by 538 on the historic season Dak is having. He's on pace for the 7th best season for yards, 19th best yards per attempt, 2nd best passing success rate behind only Tom Brady in 07, the 2nd best passing success rate in losses behind Peyton Manning in 2010. That means when they're losing, he is still playing awesome. He's faced 8 in the box just 20 times all year, so they aren't stacking it for Zeke. And more importantly, Dak has been incredibly unlucky. Of the 47 QBs that have averaged over 8.5 yards per attempt, the average win-loss record is 11.6. The Cowboys are on pace for 9.6, and that is not on the quarterback. So, yeah, that was my point about that one. Like, you finally got enough evidence that you can totally retire your Dak take. Like, hey, nobody's perfect, right? I guess you're 99 out of 100, but this is the one take that you thought you were going to be right on, but you're now 100% wrong on. Historically, one of the best quarterback seasons we've ever seen, Jeff. That's
what
we're
witnessing. Okay, guys. I was a Dak skeptic. That's okay. You're allowed to be. You know, I'll still fight the Dak homer. If the Dak homer's like, you were stupid, you were an idiot. And I'm like, no, he's playing better this year than he did in his first three. I'm sold now. Because the guy that he is now is better than the guy he was the first 3 years. The guy he is right now is incredible.
You're a fence sitter. You changed.
No.
Yeah.
I shift
wishy-washy
to make sure I'm always right. I was right all along, and now I'm right again.
So what are you telling me you're actually going to use evidence to maybe change your opinion as new info comes in?
Yeah, I think
that is ridiculous, Jeff.
That is the tough part.
You coward.
That's the tough part for sports fans because the world now, that's the rule.
Yeah.
Once you've established anything, you're not allowed to change your mind on anything. You just fight to the death. And so,
toes don't run.
Yeah. So if you're a Dak hater, you just have to ride that train.
Let's go to John Machota here in The Athletic. Amari Cooper quote here as we are taking a look at Cowboys Twitter. We have a lot of guys that can make plays. If they try to take me away and just focus on me, I don't think that would be the wisest approach because you saw what Gallup and Cobb did last week. If they do to try to take me away, we have other guys who can make plays. And Bill Belichick talked about that. It's impossible to prep for the Cowboys right now because they can hurt you in a lot of ways.
Smart by Amari Cooper. I saw that he was also, somebody asked, like, how nice is it to have a good number two receiver and Gallup on the team? And he was like, I'll be honest, I don't remember what your question was because when you called him a number two, that wasn't true. So I blanked out. Amari right now, what he's doing is he's making a great case. What he's doing is he's appealing to Belichick. He's like, single cover me, dude. That Gallup?
Ooh, that dude's it.
That dude's number one. You better go bracket that guy. Leave me alone. Woo. Let me shine.
Let me tell you about this new guy, Gallup.
he's better than me.
I mean, you don't even need your best corner on me. Corner, double coverage, none of that necessary. Plus, I'm hurt. I like that. You know, Belichick plays the game. Play it back at him.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper's a chess player. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what he's thinking.
Wouldn't it be great if Amari was in the locker room? He's like, well, the tough part is that I'm going to get out there. Like, I'm really limited. My ankle, my knee, my hip, calf, shoulder, neck. But I'm going to give them what I got. You know, I'll go out there as a decoy, and I'll play and just throw all that out there and see if New England takes the bait. Like, well, don't worry about him.
What do you think about Amari Cooper Sunday? What would you guess?
Stat line?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. It's really weird. The road thing.
Better than his average road stats, I'll say. Because what is it, like 4 for 50?
4 for 52, and at home it's 7.8 for 135.
I'll set his over-unders at 5 for 70, and obviously the over-under for touchdowns has to be set at a half. He either scores or he doesn't. Where do you go?
Yeah, five for 70.
5 for 70 and over or under of a half a touchdown.
I wonder what he's at right now percentage of health-wise.
He's practiced full this week.
85%. Yeah, wait. There's no way. I mean, he could barely even get out there consistently. There's something significantly hampering him. You know, and it's been that way since before the bye. Back to John Michaud, unless you want some more on Amari Cooper.
No, I just thought since we'd stopped on Amari Cooper, kind of it's... He doesn't have to have a big game for the Cowboys to win, correct?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But it would mean that your defense played well, which, who's banking on that? Anybody? Any takers?
I think that's a major development from the first part of the season, though, Mike. The fact that maybe you can actually get the job done without Amari Cooper now. I didn't think after the Jets game that was possible.
I think he has to be on the field.
Okay.
I think you can get by and you can score points and get a bunch of yards with Amari having 40 yards, but I don't think you can do it if he doesn't play.
I'm going to side with Amari Cooper and say Michael Gallup's really a number one receiver. So how about that?
You can't keep trying to out Gallup love me. It's messed up that you're doing that to me.
Well, you know, I appreciate your opinion there and your perspective, but I believe I've already done it, sir.
I know you have, and it offends me in many ways.
John Michaud, back to him in the Athletic. Can Dak see himself playing at 42 like Tom? Dak says, I live in the now. Ohm. No, he said, I live in the now. I live in the moment. Honestly, I don't know. I can't see myself being 40 and doing that, but who knows? Who knows where I am? That's a long way away. I'm just worried about right now.
Dak said, have you seen what's happening to quarterback salaries? By the time I'm 34, I'm going to be on a boat somewhere.
Yeah, I'm thinking about 29 years old buying the Cowboys, something like that.
Lyle and I are going to go fishing. That's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, things are going great for Dak, and who knows what happens. Bill Belichick was just talking about it recently, like, he said, I didn't think I was going to coach at 70 when I was in my 50s, but now I'm getting pretty close, and I feel like I'm pretty damn good still, so let's keep going.
I thought I was going to be super old when I got to 30, and then I got to 30, and I was like, hey, this is kind of the same. Now, outside of the knee, I got to 35, and I was like, that's a really old number, but it's like, oh, wait, you're still the same idiot.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. How about we get you some stats to know going into Week 12? I think you guys would appreciate this stuff right here.
Did you know that in many ways Dak's current stat line is on pace to surpass Mahomes' numbers from last year?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But not the touchdowns?
Not the touchdowns, but like I believe yards and yards per attempt and completion percentage. He's ahead of Mahomes' pace or where Mahomes was through this many games last year.
We got to talk about it a little bit later on, but just the outlook of sports right now is just ridiculous. I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Miro Haskinen's awesome.
Yeah, Miro and Luka. And I look, I know. The Cowboys aren't going to win the Super Bowl this year probably. They got to fire Jason Garrett, but at least you got a guy in Dak who's a strong enough leader that maybe in the future he can actually overcome some of the shortcomings that can pop up time to time. Okay, Pro Football Focus has stats going into Week 12 you need to know about. Number 7, look for Zach Ertz on first down. We're all going to be locked into Seahawks and Eagles. Holy cow. Zach Ertz led all receivers in first down targets in Week 11, furthering a trend that has him sitting firmly in first place among tight ends in the category. He saw 8 passes thrown his way on first down against the Patriots, reeling in 7 for 79 yards, including a contested catch and 2 missed tackles forced. So that's that whole storyline of Carson Wentz loving to throw to Zach Ertz and
having no receivers.
Yeah, he's doing a great job of it on first down, though. That is, it's brutal, you know. I wonder if their fans say, well, you know, with Wentz, if you don't have your players, then you got to keep on winning anyway. It's next man up. I think teams that lose key players more often than not go the way that the Eagles are right now, or the way that the Cowboys would maybe if Amari Cooper and Tyron were out full time, and the teams that are like they just have something special to them. Those are the guys that can somehow overcome it.
The Colts.
Yeah.
Who else this year?
It's overcome.
Yeah, the Saints, while Breeze was out,
I guess you could say the Patriots when you listen to Michael Lombardi and what they've had with offensive line and the wide receiver situation.
Yeah, they've lost a ton out there.
Playing the AFC East.
Okay, up next, the Patriots eked out a win, but Tom Brady struggling to throw deep from Pro Football Focus. Another stat to know about going into Week 12. Tom had 5 throws targeted 20 yards or more downfield Sunday, but none fell into the waiting arms of his receivers. For the first time this season, Brady failed to complete a deep pass, contributing to a season-low game grade of 53. It was the first time Brady did not hit a deep ball since Week 7 of 2018.
People aren't ready for this. They're not ready for the Tom Brady's not great anymore takes.
Well, you know, and I don't know if Tom Brady's not great, but the Patriots' passing game is not great.
Right.
Well, you know,
they certainly have limitations with the revolving door of receivers and having a 90-year-old tight end, but he's not doing the magical things that once upon a time Tom Brady did every week.
Okay, here's why I'd be willing to bet Dak's going to have another 400-yard game.
He's hold on, because Mike and I like, both reach for our wallets.
On Sunday?
No, not this Sunday.
Oh, I thought you meant Sunday.
Oh, yeah. No, he'll have another.
He's tied with Tony for most 400-yard games in a season.
Oh, and you think he hates Tony, so he wants to break that record.
He's going
to
get one
Tony
more.
Tony treated him like crap, so he wants to take out the record.
Yeah, he's thinking revenge at every turn. No, it's just that the Redskins' corners are trash and the Cowboys have another game against Washington.
Okay.
The highest passer rating allowed by a cornerback group in Week 11 belongs to none other than Washington. The unit surrendered a 141.9 passer rating, giving up 10 catches on 15 targets for 161 yards, 7 touchdowns, and seven first downs and 3 touchdowns.
That's a bad day at the office.
That's against the Jets, Jeff.
Oh, no. No. Sam Darnold and Crowder and Robbie Anderson out there piecing you up.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Okay, TJ Watt's already surpassing season highs.
Skip it.
This is just nauseating, isn't it?
Nobody needs to hear this.
Yeah, let's go ahead and pass that one up.
What's he doing, though?
It's topping his 52 quarterback pressures from a season ago.
Oh.
6 games remaining. He now has 53 in 2019 and is showing no signs of slowing down as the league's highest graded edge defender through 11 weeks.
Yeah, but his fingers weren't strong enough to touch the ground. If you put his finger on the ground, they would have fell off and he wouldn't have been able to play.
That's
painful. Robert Quinn's 280 pounds. You know, you can't be you can't be 260 and play defensive end for the Cowboys. It's just not possible.
Other facts you need to know, according to Pro Football Focus, going into Week 12, the Falcons are now on a winning streak, and Calvin Ridley's a big reason why. Matt Ryan fired deep to Ridley 3 times in Week 11. Ridley managed to come down with all 3 of them for 96 yards, subsequently becoming the 12th wideout this season to catch 3 or more passes targeted 20-plus yards downfield. And the Falcons cruised to a 29-3 win, mostly because of he and Matt Ryan's rapport.
All right, fun game. A year ago, I said I was wrong about who I would have picked for the Cowboys in that spot because Van Der Esch was so good. Played again today. Would you rather have Ridley or Van Der Esch?
I guess Van Der Esch, but here's where I'm coming from.
You
traded
Cobb
for Amari Cooper, and you have Michael Gallup, and so I look at it, and I know that you're talking
it's
about
one of those things where we'd have to tear apart the entire fabric of the Matrix because we'd have to undo a lot of things to figure it out.
Right, so I'm happy with the two wide receivers we have. I think we might have the best two combination. I mean, here I am destroying the Cowboys all week going into this game, but
they're close.
I think that we have a great quarterback. I think we have great wide receivers. You know, I think we have a good running back who is underperforming this year, and we're 6-4. But I don't, right now, if you start saying, hey, I wish we had this wide receiver over that wide receiver, that's going to be tough for me to say, oh, yeah, I'd rather have that guy.
I would rather have Ridley and Gallup, but you probably wouldn't have signed Cobb. But I think I could say that, but I totally get what you're saying. If I got to pick Van Der Esch and Gallup or Ridley plus question mark in round 3, they probably would have failed in round 3. Now at least you got a guy who's probably a pretty good starter in Van Der Esch.
Okay.
Right? We're sure about that. He's at least starting caliber, maybe not just
there's no way they trade for Cooper if they draft Ridley, right?
Probably not.
Oh, yeah, that one too.
Probably not. All right, so they did the right thing.
Yeah, but you have a point that in that time for that pick, it should have been Ridley. Okay, around the NFL is coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation.
Mesquite Mitsubishi has the brand new Outlander Sport SUV starting at $16,900. Visit mymitsu.com.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan, and it's time to go around the NFL, brought to you by WinStar World Casino and Resort. All righty, and here's Mike with first down.
Quarterback rankings are out for Week 12, and this comes from CBS Sports. I'm going to give you Week 11, what the quarterbacks were ranked for the 2019 season. Lamar Jackson was number one. Pat Mahomes was number two. Russell Wilson was number three. Dak Prescott was number four. And Deshaun Watson was number five. Those were your top five quarterbacks last week. Where do you think Dak Prescott will be after last week's performance in Detroit?
Okay, Watson was five. He was he three or four? He was where?
He was four.
Dak was four.
Watson was five.
Okay, Watson's going to either drop or stay the same. Dak's either going to stay the same or go up. He could jump up. I'll say he's number three.
Gavin?
Yeah, I like that. Let's go all the way to number two behind Russell Wilson.
You know what? It just shows that Gavin watches way more football than Jeff Kavanaugh.
That's not true, because I know that on Saturdays sometimes he has soccer games, and I watch the Saturday. It's not NFL Saturday. Sunday sometimes he eats lunch, and I don't.
Lamar Jackson stays as the number one quarterback in the NFL going into Week 12. Dak Prescott jumps from number four to number two, and it does say it is happening. It says it starts off, Prescott deserves more MVP love. He's the reason why the Cowboys are 6-4 and atop the NFC East after 444 yards, three touchdowns, and all this other stuff, D-Y-A-R and stuff that I don't
know. Don't worry about all that.
Russell Wilson stays at number three. Pat Mahomes drops to number four. And to round out the top five, Deshaun Watson drops. And your guy, Jeff.
Who's my guy? Which guy?
Is number five. The guy that I said was a very disappointing quarterback last year, and you said, no, he wasn't.
Kirk Cousins.
Oh, my guy, Kirk Cousins.
Number five, Deshaun Watson.
You remember how mad you got at me about that one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson down to number seven. He plays tonight. Do you guys think you can name the three worst quarterback starters right now in the NFL? They had to start last week, so you can't say Eli Manning or somebody like Josh Rosen who's not starting games.
We 100% can. I'm just pulling up a list of 32 teams just to have the team names in front of me.
Okay.
So that I can think about Ryan Finley.
Ryan Finley is the worst quarterback in the NFL, according to CBS Sports.
Come on, internet.
That starts.
Show me the teams. Show me the list of teams. Dwayne Haskins.
Dwayne Haskins is the third worst quarterback in the NFL.
It's not Fitzpatrick.
I'm trying to find Fitzpatrick.
It's not Fitzpatrick. He's better than that.
Fitzpatrick is way up here. He's number 22 overall. He's sandwiched in between Daniel Jones and Jared Goff. They have his number 23 overall in quarterbacks.
Year. It's not Driscoll. He's played better than bottom
three. It's not Driscoll. You want me to give you a hint? He almost got a concussion last week.
Almost got a concussion.
Yeah. Almost.
Mason Rudolph?
Mason Rudolph is considered the second worst quarterback in the NFL, according to CBS Sports. And rounding out your top five worst quarterbacks, fourth worst is Mitch Trubisky, and fifth worst is Jameis Winston.
All right, there you have them, the QB rankings, and salute to Dak. Keeps on climbing the charts up to number two. That's incredible. Okay, Around the NFL is brought to you by WinStar World Casino and Resort. You want second down, Jeff?
Sure, come on with it. Got some important news on Antonio Brown.
Oh, you don't say.
He might be back. Antonio Brown, we remember when he sent a tweet out about how much he loves Robert Kraft.
Yeah, he apologized, kind of.
Yeah, after he was like, Robert Kraft is a prostitution human trafficker and he's the scum of the earth. Well, he said, I apologize and I love you, Mr. Kraft, the other day on Twitter. Apparently, he had his meeting with the league today, and there's optimism in Antonio Brown's camp that the league's going to clear him to return before the end of the season.
Okay, that's exciting for them.
He wrote on Twitter, staying ready, excited to get back to the field and inspire others. Now, we got to figure out who would be interested in Antonio Brown. Former Patriots tight end Christian Faria, who works for WEEI, says the Patriots have kicked the tires on Antonio Brown.
Yeah, you'll be hearing from Christian Faria for an entire week coming up on Radio Row.
Oh, yeah, he's the loud one, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he says they've kicked the tires on Antonio Brown.
I would think the Eagles would, too.
Oh, he turns
no,
for sure.
No, 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 but no. I just,
There's no way he plays. Like, if you sign him on Tuesday or Wednesday next week, because you're too, it's Thursday now, you're too close to signing him for him to make an impact this week. Maybe you sign him and get him ready for the next week, but wouldn't the NFL immediately suspend him?
I don't know. If the NFL's not going to suspend him, though, and you're the Patriots, you got to bring him in.
Or the Eagles.
It's a call for me from Robert Kraft. I'm going to call Antonio Brown and say, apology accepted. And then I'm going to call to the NFL and say, are you guys going to suspend this guy if we sign him? Because if not, then yeah, you got to sign him. And who knows, maybe 2 hours later, he tweets death threats to one of his accusers, right?
Probably
and you
will.
Have to re-let
Does
him
go.
Does
he want to go back to the Raiders? He thought they'd be horrible and he wanted out of that, but they look like they might make the playoffs. Would he start apologizing to the Raiders going, I didn't know you guys would actually be good at football this year?
I don't know, but I will take issue with your Eagles because I think at 540, we'll do the Nelson Aguilar story and we'll investigate, is that indeed his burner account? Because the Eagles might have a little bit too much dysfunction. Like, that would be like a bunch of really dried out sticks, and you got way too many flammable things hanging around, and then somebody just tosses a Zippo over the fence. I don't think you can do Philly with Antonio Brown, no matter how much they need a receiver, because I think they're teetering on the edge of full out just civil war inside the Philadelphia locker room.
Oh,
I don't
think
you could do it there. But yeah, apparently the Patriots might be interested in bringing him back after Robert Kraft cut him.
We'll have more on the Patriots and Eagles coming up at 5:20. We'll go around both teams. And then at 5:30, I believe this would be a major show announcement. It might just be a significant show announcement. But Tolos, you're going to want to stick around here coming up at 5:30. We got something, an announcement to make. Either
I
way,
said
right
we
here.
Have a fun announcement at 5:30.
Fun, significant, major. You know, I think all of those could apply depending on how you look at this. It's going to be fun for us, I'll tell you that much.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming up at 5:30 right here. I do want to say I believe the Cowboys might be catching a break here playing the Patriots before they can bring back Gronk or Antonio Brown. And I know Gronk has said I'm not coming back, but I don't believe it.
By the way, in the quarterback index, somebody asked on the Autoflex Leasing fan text, as I give you that number, 877-881-1053, Tom Brady was considered or is considered the 13th best quarterback right now, according to CBS Sports, just using this season.
That's about right. And here, like to me, here's the difference in Tom Brady. Because I think when Michael Lombardi talks about the parts around him and we talk about, oh, well, look at what he has at receiver. Do you guys remember what used to be the story about Tom Brady? The story used to be it didn't matter who his receivers were. Like, it was Troy Brown, and it was just
Deion Branch.
Yeah, it was the sparest of spare names. It was like, it doesn't matter. It's Tom Brady. The difference now in Tom Brady is he's everyone else. Tom Brady has become human. Now, if his surroundings aren't good, he can't be awesome. He's human.
So I'll consider that point, but I think an assertion like that requires a study. You know, because I think you could go man for man throughout history and find that this has to be the worst collection. Like, as bad as Troy Brown or Deion Branch
Muhammad
ever
Sanu
were.
Muhammad Sanu is a veteran starter.
Yes, but now he's hurt. He ain't playing.
Right, but he's been playing.
Yeah.
He's played the last two games. He had Edelman and Sanu, and he had Josh Gordon. And Philip Dorsett's not worthless. He hadn't had good weapons, but he hadn't had, like, the Cowboys, before they got Amari Cooper, had worse weapons than Tom Brady's had this year.
Well, and he still does have Edelman. I mean, there were points last year in the regular season when Edelman and Gronk were both out. And they couldn't move it past 5 yards.
Look, I hope I'm wrong, and I'll lose $200 to Jeff on this if the Cowboys can win. I think he's going to have a really good to great game on Sunday. I think he's going to know who to pick on. I think they're going to throw a lot of screen passes where, yes, he didn't throw it down the field, and maybe Choppy's going to come in because Choppy hates Tom Brady and say, yeah, he threw for 332 yards, but there was 200 yards after the catch. Like, he didn't even actually throw the ball down the field. But against the Cowboys, sometimes you don't have to. Sometimes you just dump it off to, James White over there, and we overrun everything or getting our butts blocked everywhere, and then the dude has a 27-yard catch.
Okay, let me get you a quick third down here. We got plenty of time to talk Cowboys and Patriots. Mitch Trubisky on pace to play Sunday against the Giants.
Giants are happy about that.
Yeah, sorry, Bears fans.
He exited Sunday's loss with a hip injury.
No, he didn't. I'm just telling you, no, he didn't.
Phantom injury to get him off the field. That's when you know it's gone real bad.
It Your hip injury with 3 minutes left does not lead to a moment where you and the head coach are in an embrace and he's whispering in your ear as your backup warms up.
Yeah.
Your hip might, his hip might hurt.
Uh-huh.
He got benched.
Okay, Rams coach Sean McVay said Robert Woods, who was a surprise scratch on Sunday, is back at practice. Steelers wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster's status for Sunday is very much up in the air as the Steelers will take on the Bengals. That's according to Ian Rappaport.
That was a bad game.
Matt Ryan was back at practice today after missing yesterday with an ankle situation. Nelson Agholor and Lane Johnson both did not practice.
People are asking questions on the quarterback rankings. Go to cbssports.com and click on the NFL tab if you want to know where the other quarterbacks rank.
Good stuff. All right, G-Bag Nation, we're coming back with the top stories today. We'll take a look at the Cowboys injury report and some of the other big stories happening right now across the world of sports.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.